بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to the 11th lecture. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وبعد. The topic اسماء الرجال, which is in Ahmed Shakir's book from pages 151 to 213. Since we're getting very far behind, we'll not really be going over those. And then, unfortunately, in English, we don't really have a reference on that. This basically discusses different types of narrators and who they are. Basically, it's identifying who the people are. So if you read those sections, you should, for example, read about who are the Sahaba, what's the definition of a Sahabi according to the Muhaddithin, who were the most important Sahabi. Why are all the Sahabi considered adil? These are some of the important things you should get from there. You should know that there is no Sahabi and no Tabi'i by the name of Abd Rahim. Why is that important? Why is information like that important?
We'll get any liars.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the sanad ends with someone by the name of Abd Rahim, you know that you're missing at least two narrators between him and the Prophet
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Or some of the things they cover, for example, is a category called as-sabiq wa al-lahiq. And this is also an important topic because it can lead to some confusion. I will get to it. It will lead to some confusion. What is it in English? I'm going to define it, okay? Huh? The former and the latter for... So for example, if we have Imam Malik, we look to see what's the death. I have to see. Okay. What's the earliest of the people who narrated from him? What's the earliest date of death? That's called as-sabiq. Okay. So, for example, in the case of Imam Malik, Imam Zuhri was older than him. And he was a scholar of hadith, but although he's older than him, he still took some hadith from Imam Malik. This is not uncommon for older people to take hadith from younger people. So Az-Zuhri was the first one to die, was the earliest to die from those people who narrated from Imam Malik. And Az-Zuhri died in 124. And then we look to see the death of the oldest person who died, the last person who died who narrated from Imam Malik. And in this case, it's someone by the name of Ahmed ibn Ismail, and he died in the year 259. So this is Ahmed ibn Ismail, and this is Az-Zuhri. Okay. Now the reason this is important, as I said, it removes possible confusion, because as you see that. Math class now. Between the date of his death and the date of his death is 135 years. So someone, if you were just to look and see that Zuhri narrated from Malik and Ahmed ibn Ismail narrated from Malik, you might get the impression that there's something wrong. Because it's strange to find one person and the one who narrated from him from the beginning to the end is a difference of 135 years. So they used to study these things to make sure, or just to show that, in fact, 135 years is not a strange amount. And so if anyone were to look at it, he would not be surprised to find one narrator narrating from Malik dying that early, and the other one dying that late. Well, Khatib al-Baghdadi has a book on this topic. One of the largest spans is 150 years between as-sabiq wa lahiq, the former and the latter, as
as-sabiq wa
lahiq.
How do you explain it?
I just did. This is as-sabiq, this one.
How do you explain
lahiq? Huh?
How do you explain the span of 155 years?
How do we explain it?
Yes.
Zuhri was a sheikh much older than Imam Malik, but he took hadith from Imam Malik.
Still 155 years. When he told me 135 years, I will get the idea that Imam Malik gave it at least 135.
That's what I'm saying, and to avoid that kind of confusion. It doesn't mean that.
There is also another.
When Zuhri narrated from him, when Zuhri died, Imam Malik was about 34.
Yeah.
Okay. Imam Malik lived to about
Ahmed
ibn Ismail died. Yeah, he died. Yeah, we're taking the death of the person, the first one who died and the last one who died. Also, you have to know, they also studied the strange names. And the reason you have to study the strange names is because if you find someone like me, for example, I'm sure if I wrote this on the board, Saud would correct me and say that's not right, it should be. Yeah. Or this name. Okay. You have to know the strange names to know that the one who's saying the name is not making mistakes. Okay. Ajmed is a name. Jabib is a name. Okay. They're not common names, but you'll find them in...
Jabib or Jubayb?
That should be the same as Habib. This is under the topic of Asma al-Rijal, which we're going through just very quickly. Included in that are also those people who have names which give a false impression of their ancestry, or a false impression of something about them. For example, there was someone by the name of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. Don't have to write on the board. He's from the Sahaba. Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. If you hear that name, what's the first impression you'll get? He's Abu Mas'ud.
Anyway,
this means that he's from the people who participate in Badr. But he has the name Abu Mas'ud al-Badri because he lived at Badr for a while. He lived in that area. Okay. So if you hear a hadith from him narrating something about the Battle of Badr, you might say, yeah, he was there. And his name is Abu Mas'ud al-Badri.
Isn't that in the market?
Market? No, I'm saying that he did not. That's not why he's called that. Like also, for example, we talked about al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, al-Ju'fi. Well, the last name also confuses some people. How does he get the name al-Ju'fi?
He lived for some time in Jaffa. Or is he from Jaffa?
No.
Jaffa is a tribe or a kid?
Tribe.
So it's
a wala. Yeah. His grandfather became Muslim through someone from the tribe of al-Ju'fi. Or at that time, if you become Muslim at the hand of someone, you take on that person's name. So his family was known as al-Ju'fi after that. Sometimes, not always.
Yeah.
What's the Arabic name of Bukhari, Abu Ismail Bukhari al-Ju'fi?
Muhammad ibn Ismail Bukhari al-Ju'fi. The door locked? I cannot get it, otherwise it will break his new technology. Maybe it's the mailman or something.
No,
main hut
outside.
That was just, I wasn't serious. But also there's another section about those narrators who are taqat, who have no strong chains coming from them. So for example, the one who the Prophet ﷺ nickname is Al-Amin. He's just shy, huh? Assalamu alaikum. Who did the Prophet ﷺ call Al-Amin? Al-Amin. Abu Ubaidah, yeah. Yani, although his alameen and obviously his tiqa, there's no yani strong chain to Abu Ubaidah. So we have no authentic hadith from Abu Ubaidah.
Because those who came after him, yani.
So they also have this category, the people who are tiqa, but there are no authentic chain from them. So historical accident.
Related
from him?
Yeah.
From authentic chain?
Not authentic, any chain.
Yeah, there are some from unauthentic chain.
Yeah.
Because of the chain after him. So you?
Hmm?
Okay. No, it's okay. 11:30 in the morning, I don't know.
Did you take this off?
I wasn't going to. I was coming so they wouldn't hear what they, I said. That's his back now. Two, both pages, yeah, right. But in order to go even quicker, make up some more time. You told me you read Arabic, right? These are names of books, so I didn't bother to try to translate them.
You didn't put the time, so I cannot even read.
Oh, just look at the letters. Like me. Well, so these information about narrators and where they lived and where they died and so forth, these are contained in different books of biographies. So here I gave you a list of some of the more famous books. Most of these are published and available nowadays. Although on the second page there's a couple that are not published. There's books, and inshallah, when we get to errors we'll correct them. There's books that just discuss the Sahaba. Who are the Sahaba? Give some background about their history and who narrated from them. In Al-Isaba by Ibn Hajar, the third book there, he even talks about who some people call Sahaba, but in fact they are not Sahaba. He has three sections. The third section are those people who are actually not Sahaba. Is there a mistake? Next is books of Tabaqat. With books of Tabaqat, what they mean by that is they take each generation, the books are not arranged in alphabetical order, but they take each generation from the Sahaba, and then the Tabi'in and Tabi'in, so you find them all in the same section, back to the author of the book. One of the most famous of those is Tabaqat al-Kubra by Ibn Sa'd.
So this book narrates the life of companions Tabi'in
until Ibn Sa'd's time. As you see, Ibn Sa'd died in 230.
Only their
life, huh? Yeah, also discuss yani, who were their students and sometimes some of their hadith that they narrated.
But the first one, books of on the component?
Just Sahaba. Who are Sahaba, who are not Sahaba, and some, where did they live, who were their students, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are all yani, biographical, books of biographical information.
At the end of each chapter, yes, and the conclusion is.
Not necessarily, not in this first two categories. I mean, not in the books of Tabaqat. Okay. The next one is, there's books of yani, discussing narrators in general, all different types of narrators. And two examples I gave here, Ta'rikh al-Kabir by al-Bukhari and al-Jahra wa-Ta'dil by Ibn Abi Hatim.
What does he mean?
He has three books. One is Ta'rikh al-Kabir, one is Ta'rikh al-Saghir, large, small, and medium. Three different books. Huh? Kabir inside.
Does he mean detailing?
Huh? No, he, Kabir, pretty much he recorded everyone that he had heard of, even if he didn't have any specific information about them. Well, the others, no. Then there's also books of just trustworthy narrators, Taqat, Al-Ajli, Ibn Hibban, and Ibn Shaheen.
Al-Ajli sounds
Tunisian. Well, then there's books of just weak.
Ibn Shaheen, from which country is this?
Mahdi.
Here to me, it sounds
Egyptian. Yeah, nowadays.
Lebanon.
He died in 385, Ibn Shaheen. Not talking about someone nowadays. Yeah. Also books of weak narrators. The most important of those two probably, or the most important three of those, is Al-Kamil fi Du'afa al-Rijal by Ibn Adi. This has been published in, I think, 8 or 9 large volumes. Mizan al-I'tadal by Al-Dhahabi and Mizan al-Mizan. Lisan al-Mizan is by Ibn Hajar. Yeah, did I misspell his name? Khakhaf, yeah. Ibn Hajar, the last word. Also? It's Lisan al-Mizan. Must have been tired by the time I reached, or someone, or Jureid called again. But then there's also collections of narrators from specific works like Al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and also Al-Mu'tah ibn Malik.
Al-Kalabadi.
Kalabadi, that's correct.
That's not correct.
That's correct, yes. See, it's like Ajmed with Jabib, we have to be. But the most famous and the most used books are probably the last category. And those are books of narrators from the famous six books being Al-Bukhari and Muslim and Nisa'i wa Tirmidhi wa Ibn Majah wa Abu Dawud.
Are you telling
here Tadhib
or
Tadhib? Tadhib.
You
mean
Tadhib?
No, Tadhib. The first of those was by Al-Maqdisi. He died in 600, I forgot to put his death. Al-Kamal. Well, this book needed some revision, and he included lots of information about the narrators, the hadith they recorded, and so forth. So this was Al-Mizzi, made some... Mizzi, yeah, the next one. He made some corrections to it and deleted some things, and that's known as Tahdhib al-Kamal. And then from Al-Mizzi's books, two other books were made. One is Tadhib al-Tahdhib by al-Dhahabi, in which he improved the book a little bit. Yeah, he's the one who... al-Dhahabi. Well, Tadhib has also been made in Mukhtasar form in two books. One is called Al-Kashif by al-Dhahabi also. And the other one, the title is there, Khulasa.
Khulasa
al-Tahdhib?
Al-Tahdhib.
I think it should be Tahdhib. And then on the other side, also Ibn Hajar also went to Al-Mizzi's book. He added some narrators, he included some, he took out all the information which is not relevant to Jahw or Ta'dil. In other words, Al-Mizzi has lots of information, yani some of it is not really needed. So he excluded all that unnecessary stuff. He added some narrators that were not in Al-Mizzi's book, and he called it Tahdhib al-Tahdhib. Tahdhib al-Tahdhib. And then Ibn Hajar summarized his own book, Tahdhib al-Tahdhib, in a book called Taqrib al-Tahdhib, which is the smallest of all those books you'll find there. He criticized Al-Dhahabi's Al-Kashif. He said it is like yani just anwan for all the narrators, but his book Taqrib is much less, has much less information than Al-Dhahabi's book. Well, I brought for you to see what kind of what the books look like, some of the books, and to compare some of them. I brought example from Taqrib al-Tahdhib, al-Ta'rikh al-Kabir, al-Jahr wa-Ta'dil, and Tahdhib al-Tahdhib. For two of the same narrators, I underlined their names. I did not make 16 or whatever copies of those.
So you can. Has a book, huh?
He has a book called Al-Alal wal-Ma'rifat al-Rijal, but they did not include it. These are not all the books. Oh, there's many, many, many books, but these are some of the most important books. Yeah, the book by Al-Muqtasi and by Al-Mizzi, these two have not been published. They are still makhtutat. The other books have been published.
Al-Muqtasi,
yeah?
Yeah.
You could, yeah. Each one take a volume. Each one of us take a volume, go to Jamaat al-Imam, we can get our PhDs.
ابن منجوية
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 منجوية في تز لا should be the opposite يدا منجوية نعم منجوية don't listen to the طيب so as I said we went through those that topic quickly. Any questions about that? And we didn't say enough to actually have questions about it. So in his book Taqrib al-Tahdhib, when you look at this, you'll find, for example, that he gives some number after the name min al-thamina. Yeah, this is the tabaqat, yani from the sahaba, tabi'in, tabi'in, and so forth. He's saying which generation the person came from. And also after it you'll find initials after each person's name. For example, after Jabr al-Ju'fi, you'll find Dal wa Ta wa Qaf. What do you think those mean? This is Taqrib al-Tahdhib.
Dal?
No. Yani after the names, after each name, when you look at this, you're going to find some letters. For example, here you find Dal wa Ta wa Qaf. Okay, Qaf, by the way, some people when they look at it, they might think it means Mutafqun Ali. Okay, don't make that mistake. Qaf stands for Al Qazwini. Anyone know Al Qazwini? Huh? Qazwini, that's Ibn Majah. Ibn Majah, no, Qazwini. Yeah. So, you should compare the different books and how they deal with the same. Huh? That's okay. Huh? Abu Dawud. Tirmidhi.
Khabukhari.
Muslim. In Muslim, yeah. لا أحمد بن طير. This is تقريب التهذيب. Weren't you listening? It's from the six books. He has a book. العلل والمعرفة الرجال. I just did not put it. This is the six books. These are narrators from Bukhari and Muslim. البخاري مسلم أبو داود الترمذي ابن ماجة and النسائي. البخاري مسلم. Al-Bukhari. This is how I write him in my notes. Muslim. Abu Dawud. Ibn Majah. Tirmidhi. Wa An-Nasa'i. Also in Tahdhib, Tahdhib, Ibn Hajar included many narrators from books. Other books that these people included. Pardon me?
Those books are in order?
Yeah, you see what happened is Al-Muqtasi, the first one there, he decided to make like an encyclopedia biographers. So he decided to take some important books and take all the narrators from those books. He decided on these six books. Okay. So by this freak of history, by his decision to do that, these six books became known as standard works. Okay, they are called the Sahih Sitta. Doesn't mean that they're all authentic, but because of what the Al-Muqtasi did, they are grouped together, and they became the most important six books.
Why Ahmad Muhammad is not included?
It's too big, probably.
So Bukhari was the first book, and
no.
Muslims.
No one has more.
No. Well, okay. In this case, yeah, Al-Bukhari was the first. Muslim was the second. Tirmidhi and Nasai and Abu Dawud, all of them are students of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Muslim is Al-Bukhari's student. And Ibn Majah is the last of these. So we're talking about people from the same generation, really.
Muslim is a student of Bukhari.
Yeah.
Muslim
is a student of Bukhari. لولا البخاري ما جاء إمام مسلم. كما قال الدرقطني. طيب, any questions about that?
Many people say that Muslim doesn't have the Bukhari.
Many people say that? That's the first time I ever heard it. I think you're thinking of Abu Hanifa. I never heard. Who are these people? No, this is the first time ever. If you can show me any book, anyone who says that.
No, the reason for which Al-Mahdi said he didn't include his book because he considered him as
No, what kind of ijtihad are you making? His book is too big. Yeah, his book, if you just take the narratives from his book, it'll be just as big as this book. No, I'm talking about the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. If you just take the narrators of the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, it'll be as big as the Kamal.
You need another Kamal to do Musnad.
It is actually in another book by, forget the name of the author. There's a book of just the narrators from Musnad Ahmad, but it is not. Something like that, but it's not that famous.
Al-Ilm Ma'rif al-Rajal, he included Tirmidhi or Weed also.
Yes.
All of them.
Yes. Discussing in general. But let's finally move on to authentic hadith. What are the conditions that authentic hadith must meet? Now.
Abu Dawud
is a student of Al-Bukhari and Al-Tirmidhi and Muslim. At-Tirmidhi and Nasai and Abu Dawud, they're all pretty much from the same generation, the same time. They all studied with Al-Bukhari and also with Muslim. Ibn Majah is a little bit later. I think he may have met Al-Bukhari, but he did not really study under him.
He studied under Abu Dawud.
Yeah, he studied with them, under them. طيب. So now after all these chapters that we studied so far, there's five conditions for a hadith to be considered sahih.
I should not go
further. Don't worry. Might keep them awake during that time. So, by now, all of you should know these five conditions. Just from logical progression of what we're doing so far. So for example, with respect to the narrators, all of the narrators must be adil wa dhabt. Okay. Not 90% of the narrators, but all of the narrators in the chain have to be adil wa dhabt. Right? We discussed why earlier. Anyway. This five conditions for hadith to be sahih.
According to Al-Bukhari,
according to Ajma' al-Ulama, al-Muhadithin.
So if I find Sahih, it is the same for Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Or if I find it, I mean, Sahih for Al-Bukhari or Hasan for Al-Bukhari and Sahih for Muslim.
That's if you're talking about ijtihad about a particular hadith, that's different from saying what are the conditions. No, because for example, under Jahr wa Ta'dil, we talked about the narrators that for one scholar he might be top, the other scholar will put him a little bit lower. So for one scholar the hadith will be sahih, for the other one it will be hasan. But as for what are the conditions, these are pretty much accepted by all the ulama. What else?
Chain.
The chain. It has to be a chain?
Yeah.
What about the chain?
It's an all broken chain.
Okay, unbroken chain. Muttasil. Okay, those are all pretty clear from what we've studied so far. The fourth condition
does not contradict with another hadith.
Well, okay, cannot be shared. Okay, no shudud or no.
Four.
Tough class. They all come late and they complain about my.
About the class.
So, and the last one. Well, also grammar, and there will be. No, illa. Okay, but will be also, as we talked about before, there's grammatical illa, then something wrong with the hadith.
No, they don't call it grammatical illa,
it's not Arabic. But this one is clear, number one. Chain has to be unbroken. Otherwise, if there's someone missing from the chain, we don't know who he is. We cannot say whether he's acceptable or not. Number two, we discussed in detail. Hopefully, it's clear to everyone. Number three, what about number four? What do we mean by this?
Does not contradict our hadith or Quran.
Okay, cannot contradict anything stronger. Well, this refers to both the isnad and the matn. For example, the Quran. If the hadith contradicts the Quran, it will be considered shadh. If the hadith is what we call ahad, we'll discuss this, and it contradicts another hadith which is mutawatir, it'll be called shadh. If the hadith is narrated by people who are, yani, borderline acceptable, unacceptable, and the bottom of the first handout I gave you, the top of the second handout, and it contradicts what the top narrators narrated, it'll be considered shadh. Now notice that it refers to both the isnad and the matn, both the isnad and the text of the hadith.
Who said the isnad? You said to do with the
matn
is that the context is not violated or invalidated some of the Quran.
Yeah.
But what about
the isnad? Okay, the isnad, for example, suppose you have a chain, it's well known, for example, to pass through Abu Sa'ud and then some other people. Well, everyone knows Abu Sa'ud is weak. Okay? But someone else narrates the same hadith. And this is how all the scholars of hadith narrated. Someone else, the exact same hadith with the exact same chain, only he puts Sa'd. And Sa'd is Thiqa. Assuming. And he's Abd al-Sibar. We don't know about what. And in this case, this would be considered Shad, because everyone, all of the, and this person who narrates it like this, he's, and as I said, not from the top category. So everyone's narrating in this way, and he's contradicting them. So this would be considered shadh. When we look at it, we study, we have to conclude that he made a mistake. So this would be considered shadh in the isnad, because the way he's narrating it is contradicting the way the... This narration is shadh, because the way he narrates it contradicts the way the scholars narrate it. Abu Sa'ud is weak, okay? If we narrate the hadith this way, let's say it's sahih. If it was actually this way, because he's thiqa, let's say like this Imam Malik, forget Sa'd. Okay? But this is not a sahih hadith because it's shadh. In other words, the scholars of hadith narrate the hadith this way, meaning this is wrong. So this would be considered shadh. Contradicts the way the scholars of hadith are narrating hadith.
Because many were narrating from that time.
Yeah, this is the way the people who are experts in hadith are narrating it. This is the way someone who is a little bit weak is narrating it this way, and all the evidence shows that he's narrating it the wrong way. So in other words, the way he's narrating it is contradicting the way the scholars are narrating it. So we reject it and we call it shadh. So there can be no shudud for the hadith to be sahih. There can be nothing like this.
So
So there is no reason to say Abu Daud is weak and the other one is
dead. Yes, the reason is that in this case the hadith is weak. If we narrate it incorrectly, it looks sahih. But it is shad because it contradicts.
This is the case when also end at the bottom of the chain at the Sahaba, like you have instead of in the middle, like Malik.
Okay, if you have one Sahaba here and another Sahaba there, and it may not affect the status of the hadith if both Sahaba are adil, obviously, and both of them are known to narrate hadith, it may not affect the status of the hadith.
But you still call this shad, like most of them
narrate
from
Abu. Yeah, you would say this, for example, if they narrated from, it says actually one of the hadith of Abu Huraira and someone narrates it from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, it will be considered, they'll call it shad, this is shad, this narration. This is actually narrated by Abu Huraira, but then they'll say, well, yani, the hadith is still sahih though, just he narrated incorrectly. Clear, inshallah?
I have one question. How many chains that you have to have before you shad?
It depends, it's not just the number of chains, but sometimes it's if you have one weak narrator going against Imam Malik and Zuhri and yani, the way these people narrated, people of that category, to be considered shad, just one against three, for example. But if it's yani Ghareeb or Ahad and it goes against Mutawatir, then for sure it's going to be shad.
In Taqrib al-Hadith, he uses
min al-Thalith, min al-Thalith, min
al-Sabi'ah.
I already explained those. I already explained those. I think you're with this long enough.
What is it?
Tabaqat, yani different. The last condition, there should be no illa in the hadith. What do we mean by illa? In this case, by the way, what they mean is the hidden. Hidden defect. Either one, this one again also can be in the snad or the matn. Can be either in the snad or the matn.
This is the fifth one.
Yes, see, five. No, and. So what they mean by illa? Okay. Is that the hadith looks sahih and everything looks perfect in the hadith. Now you could argue that shad, by the way, or illa, shad is a special case of illa, but anyway they differentiate between the two. If you look at the hadith, everything looks sound, everything looks fine, looks sahih. But if you study it closer and bring together all the chains of the hadith, you'll find that there's been a mistake made, and that mistake is a hidden defect. In other words, it's not obvious to anyone, but only to the scholars of hadith. For example, there's a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that says that whatever the Muslims see as good, then Allah sees it as good. Whatever the Muslims see as bad, then Allah sees it as bad. So you have the chain. Okay, so statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So you have the chain, you have your narrators. I don't like the sound it makes. Going back to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Muslims in English. You have the chain going back to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So someone, when he narrates his hadith, he makes a small mistake. Instead of stopping on Abdullah, he just, maybe his tongue just continues. He says, An Abdullah, An Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay. From Abdullah, from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay. He made a small mistake. He just added a small mistake. This is big, but it's a small mistake. He just added the Prophet's name at the end. So if we study this hadith, so now it's the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he narrated. If we study this hadith by itself, we'll see, okay, everyone is adam babat, the chain is unbroken. back to Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Abdullah bin Mas'ud was Sahabi, narrated many hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. So the chain is unbroken back to the Prophet ﷺ. So if we just look at it, everything looks fine. But if we study this narration and study how other people narrated the hadith, we'll find that a mistake was made. Okay? It is a hidden mistake, it's not obvious. And this mistake they caused illah. So for hadith to be sahih, there can be no hidden defect like this.
Wait, so in our case, there should be some people after Abdullah?
No, it should stop right here because it's a statement of Abdullah, it's not a statement of the Prophet.
How can we do that?
By taking all the different ways people narrated it and studying it and trying to spot to see if someone made a mistake by making it marfu' back to the Prophet.
So you mean other ways we're saying it's a statement?
Yeah, other, yani if we study we find that in fact it is a statement from Abdullah, not from the Prophet. Okay, so something like that they call it da'if. مرفوع وصحيح موقوف موقوف عن موقوف ذكر فيها أبو سعود. طيب يعني in other words ضعيف مرفوع as a statement of the Prophet ﷺ, it is not correct, it is weak, but as a statement of Abdullah bin Masud it is correct. So you find this term a lot, or this, they say this a lot, يعني ضعيف مرفوع وصحيح موقوف. Yes, yeah. Marfu' means back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mawquf means back to the Sahabi. That's what those two terms mean. Another example of that, for example, in the text is someone, I don't remember who, it's written here somewhere. He narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that someone gives so much that his right hand does not know how much his left hand is giving. And he's talking about the people who will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said one of those is the person who gives so much that his right hand does not know how much his left hand is giving. Yeah. So for us nowadays, I think the Allah is clear in this. What is the mistake that he made? Listen closely. The right he switched hands on us like a magician. The right hand does not know how much the left hand gives. Okay. And even in the Arabic language actually the right hand is the one that gives.
But maybe this is a kinaya, huh?
That is a mistake.
And it repeats again, maybe.
And he said the hadith in Arabic. No. So, if we study that hadith, we find that someone made a mistake, and that is illah. There were some scholars who were experts in illah, like Ali ibn al-Madini, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, al-Bukhari, al-Darqutni, Imam Muslim. It is the most difficult science in ulum al-hadith. Any questions about the five conditions? That's Ahmed ibn. That's Ahmed ibn Hanbal.
Yes. By the way, maqasid al Sharia, when they established it?
When they established it?
Yeah.
It is. La. Yani to actually state these are the maqasid. I think actually, Al-Shatibi wal Izz ibn Abdul Salam were the first.
I guess because to study the hadith, sometimes they refer to maqasid al Sharia, but not stated by. Because maqasid
al-Shari'ah,
you understand what I mean? They criticize hadith based on the maqasid al-Shari'ah. If one of them violates one of these,
that's not the text of the hadith. They will. It is actually before maqasid al-Shari'ah they used to call maslaha and istihsan. They will not apply a hadith in certain circumstances because of maqasid al-Shari'ah. But doesn't mean they will reject the hadith. There's a difference between the two.
Yeah,
the muhaddithin
don't reject hadith or don't accept hadith based on
maqasid al-shari'ah. Yani, no, well they have these two principles, shadh or illah. طيب. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said you don't criticize it,
okay.
But under specific circumstances you may not apply specific hadith based on these principles. That's next fall anyway.
This is important. No shudud, which means it cannot contradict.
As opposed to the other questions you've been asking, this is important, huh?
No, it's the same related to what they are saying. Cannot contradict anything strong. Based on what?
What do you mean based on what?
Read the Quran, some Quran, some
meaning. What, the hadith or hadith from stronger narrators?
So they study the hadith, they know the meaning of hadith of the Quran, and then they consider...
Yes, that's the next point I was going to get to. Some people said that, يعني, especially the Mustashriqeen, they said that the ulama al-hadith, they just look to the isnad. If the isnad is fine, then they accept the hadith.
We don't take care about
that. Yeah, and this is not correct. As you see, two of the conditions for hadith to be sahih refer directly to the matn. In other words, they had to study the matn also to make sure it's not shad, to make sure there's no illah.
So what is the job of the fuqaha?
Fuqaha is how do we apply this hadith?
Yeah.
Now, next fall, yeah. But, right?
How do you apply in what?
In life. How do you apply hadith in life, Yani? As I said, next fall, but, let's skip through the hadith part first and then we can...
Because this comes to the question, the fourth point of the group, that muhaddithin should be at least partially fuqaha.
Yes, okay, you can say that. They were, Yani, the great muhaddithin. Al-Bukhari is probably one of the best fuqaha of his time.
To discover that there is Allah, he has to
If you read his book, Sahih Bukhari, and you see how he gets evidence from different hadith, and you'll see that he's a faqih. Yes?
No, that's the book that he's written about his title.
Yes.
Title he chooses from the chapter. Yeah, lots of books.
But let's take an example of a hadith and let's see if this hadith is authentic or not. Qala al-Ju'fi. We have in the handout. Qala al-Ju'fi. Come they want me to. Qala al-Ju'fi, okay? قال الجوفي. I'm not going to write. I'm just going to say it. You may write it down. قال الجوفي. الجوفي said. حدثنا عبد الله بن يوسف. عبد الله بن يوسف narrated to us. حدثنا. Remember that term from a long time ago. قال أخبرنا مالك. Malik informed us عن Ibn Shihab وعن as we said is a generic term from Ibn Shihab عن Muhammad Ibn Jubair Ibn Ma'atim
Ibn Ma'atim
the Ayn is before right? Yeah. No. You get confused aren't they? Ma'atim not related to the restaurant. عن أبيه from his father who said I heard the Prophet, the rest of the hadith is in English. I heard the Prophet recite Surah Tur and Surah Al-Maghrib, or that was the first time that Iman entered my heart.
It was not hadith.
What do you mean it's not hadith? This is Fa'li. Ayyuah, barakallahu fiqh.
First lecture.
First lecture.
No, man, I'll
What, the whole... عن أبيه, يعني, his father said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recite Surah Tur and Surah Maghrib. And that was the first time Iman entered my heart.
And the heart of Abihi,
yeah? The five conditions. Does it meet the five conditions? Yes, this hadith. This hadith I just gave you. Does it meet the five conditions? First condition. The first condition, what's the first condition? نصف من اثنان. ها هذا من قطعة. Why? طيب between الجعفي we have books between الجعفي and Abdullah ibn Yusuf, is the chain broken or not? Who knows? Who knows? Okay, let's start with 2 and 3 then. 2 and 3, 2 and 3 together we say that the narrators have to be taqa. Jafi. Tahdhib, Tahdhib has one page on Jafi. Okay, Jubair ibn Mu'tam. What about him? Is he
ibn Mut'am?
Eh, Mu'tam. What about him? You don't know him? طيب, what book do we have to? If we go to Al-Asaba fi Tamyiz al-Sahaba, we'll find that he's Sahabi. What about Muhammad ibn Jubair ibn Mu'tam? He's also Sahabi. This is something called Al-Mudabbij, where people from the same tabaqat are narrating from each other. They're both Sahabi, they're narrating from each other. Mudabbij, what did I say? Close enough. So the fact that I remember the word. Yeah, me and Kanan, we just worry about the letters. No? So, what about the Zuhri? Oh, did I skip the Zuhri? I'm sorry.
I said.
Oh, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Oh, who's Ibn? That was my next question. Who's Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri? Okay, what about the Zuhri? Huh? Everyone knows the Zuhri. He's from the top. If you have the handouts from Ibn Hajar, he's from the top, the top, top. Okay, what about Imam Malik? Taban. Al-Jazairi, Taban. He questions Ahmed bin Hanbal, but when it comes to Malik, or Tunisi, I'm sorry. But what about Abdullah bin Yusuf? We have someone, we have ta'adil by one person. Anyone supports the ta'adil? They will support. I'll tell you who's taqa. Okay? And Al-Ju'fi, we'll discuss Al-Ju'fi later. Okay. Al-Ju'fi. Remind me to come back to him. Okay, now back to the first. Let's assume for now that he's taqa. Okay? Assume for now he's taqa. Back to the first condition. Is the chain unbroken? What do you mean who knows? We know. We, the students in this class, know whether this chain is broken or not. How? Okay, I told you Al-Jawfi, I said for now let's assume he's taqa.
So all of them are taqa?
Al-Jawfi is taqa. And he said, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Yusuf. If someone is taqa and says Haddathana, what does that mean? It means he heard it directly from the person. Three lectures, four lectures ago.
That's why, no, if I had interviewed from the top.
Yeah, we're going from step by step.
The
Tafl
that means there's no one in the
secret.
How we know that
there's Haddathana means he heard it directly from him. If he's taqa, if I say Haddathani Naif, it means I heard it directly from Naif. Did you miss that lecture?
No, I didn't miss that lecture.
Abdullah bin Yusuf said, Akhbarana Malik. Akhbarana, same thing. He heard it directly from Malik. So those two links are unbroken. Malik said, An Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Okay, how do we deal with An? Did we discuss this before?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, how do we deal with An? What's the problem with An? Okay. The problem with An is that someone could make tadlis. Okay, tadlis. What's the definition of tadlis in this case? What are we talking about?
The name of someone as a generic name,
that's tadlis, the shuyukh. It's not what we mean right here. Keep Tadlis means that number one has two conditions. Number one, I'll give you what it looks like. A narrates hadith from B. Okay. A narrates hadith from B. Okay. In general, in other words, A is a student of B. A is a student of B. That's how I should have put it that way instead of A narrates from B. A is a student of B. Okay? Abdulaziz is A, I am B. Abuiz from the Ba and Abu. Hadith number 251. Okay, hadith number 251. You all know hadith number 251. In other words, a specific hadith. Hadith number 251. A did not hear from B. Okay. A did not hear hadith number 251 from B, but he heard it from C. Okay. C obviously is also a student of B. C. Kanan. Okay. C. But everyone following so far? Are you following? Yes. C is another student from B. Okay. A did not hear hadith number 251 from B, but A heard it from C on the authority of B.
So he missed one class.
Oh, he missed one class. Yeah. This is. Yeah. Well, he was sleeping. Okay. Now here's the important part. But when A, okay, so he heard it from B on the authority, he heard it from, that's how he heard the hadith, from C on B. This doesn't work. This is upside down. Is everyone following so far? He heard the hadith from C, from person C, and when person C narrated the hadith, he said, haddathani B, for example. Everyone following? So, you get that? Now when A narrates hadith number 251, dropping C from the isnad and saying an B. On the authority of B.
A should be student from B.
Yes, yes. Because if A is not a student of B and he says an B, it's not tadlis. These are the conditions. This is what tadlis is. That you are a student of someone, you do not hear the hadith from him directly, you heard it from someone else, and you say an that person. This is what tadlis is, the tadlis lesson.
But you are giving wrong information.
But the hadith is still right, but the way that
the problem is, okay, when you do this, is you're leaving someone out of the chain. That person may have made a mistake in narrating hadith. He may not have narrated the same way B narrated.
So you have to study C.
Problem is you don't know C. You don't know who C is because he left them out.
Yeah, this is what I mean. If he brought C or mentioned C, so we can have a chance to investigate.
Hey, but that would not be tadlis. Okay? Is it clear?
Yes.
Everything's clear? Okay, this is called tadlis.
Right? What about the other an?
Tadlis is this man.
If A is not student of B?
Yeah, if A is not student of B, then the chain is just broken. But it's not tadlis. There's no problem with that.
So it's no longer considered sahih.
Yeah, because the chain will be broken. But here we have a more difficult problem because A actually heard hadith from B. Now what do we do with people who commit tadlis, who do this kind of thing? Okay, if they are thiqa, in other words, if they are not liars, okay, if they are adil, let's say. And for a rich school, they don't have much chalk in this place. No. I looked, I didn't find. Now what do we do with their hadith? People like this. People who commit tadlis. people who commit hadith, if they use the word an, we don't accept their hadith unless it's proven that they heard it. Let me write it, make it clear. Okay.
Only
as much. Yeah, no. Not
to
those who commit the least. Okay. Number one, if they use an, yani they commit the least, but they are adl. If they use an, reject their hadith. Okay, they use the word an, reject their hadith.
What they should use?
If they use haddathana, if they use akhbarana, terms like this that state that he heard it directly, because if you remember, he's not a liar. That's the point. So in other words, if he says haddathana or akhbarana, or haddathani akhbarani, this means he heard it directly from the person. So there's no fear of him making tadlis in this case. So you accept those hadith.
So he's not
doubt. No, he's doubt.
He's doubt.
Yeah, he knows.
So he shouldn't use the and he should mention the tea.
And yeah, you could argue that he should mention the seed. That's why this is known as tadlis. That's why we are careful with narratives like this.
Because sometimes you say that he can be kafa and
mudallis. Yeah, like this case.
But why do you put the second category when you said hadithna, qurana and tadlis?
Yeah. We're talking about the people, we're talking about mudallis, you know. But if you notice in Ibn Hajj's discussion of Jabir al-Ju'fi, many people they said, yani if he says haddathani or sami'tu or akhbarana, then he is yani acceptable. Right? So this is what we do with people who commit tadlis. If they use the word an, we reject the hadith. Rafidi and mudallis? Can he be Rafidi and mudallis and taqa at the same time?
No.
Forget Jabir al-Jufi for a minute, okay? Now, if they use these terms, then we accept their hadith. That's what we do when we find the term an used by mudallis. But if we know that the narrator did not commit tadlis, then we don't have to worry about this. Okay, if we know that the narrator did not commit tadlis. Tadlis was something the muhaddithin hated. Because yani, you're dropping someone from the chain, it's difficult to test the veracity of the hadith. Yeah, Shu'bah calls it the brother of lying. لا, مش Shu'bah. Yahya ibn Ma'in. No, Shu'bah called it the brother of lying. Yahya ibn Ma'in said, I prefer to commit zina than to commit tadlis.
Okay.
Zina, okay, he prefers to be killed for committing zina than to commit tadlis. Because committing tadlis is you're dealing yani with the deen itself. When you commit zina, you're just yourself, yani. Khlas.
How can you consider number two tadlis?
No, we're talking about the people who commit tadlis. What do we do with their hadith?
If they use such words, yeah.
Okay. But if someone, as I said, is known not to commit tadlis, and uses the word an from someone who he is a student from, then that means the hadith is, the chain is connected.
Is one of the conditions of Dhabit that he should know ilm al-hadith? He should know the rules of hadith.
Of Dhabit, yani as I talked about before, they, in general they will not accept narrations from people who are not careful, who don't know, for example, what haddathani means or sami'tu. They will not.
So, if he's Dhabit, then he should differentiate between
the others. I know, but sometimes... we will talk about later, when we talk about weak hadith, what are some of the reasons for committing tadlis. So for example, number C, or person C, excuse me. Person C, in A's opinion, C is tiqa. But other people don't like him. Okay? So he knows that if he mentions C's name, they're not going to accept the hadith. So he drops C from there. Yani in his opinion, he's taqa. There's nothing wrong with him. So that's one reason that might cause someone to commit this kind of tadlis. So, but if the narrator is known not to commit tadlis, and he's narrating from someone that he was a student of, then yani the chain, that means the chain is unbroken at that point. So when Malik said an Zuhri, was Malik a Zuhri student? Was he?
School.
Was Malik a Zuhri student? And it's only been 1 hour since I talked about Lahaq, Al-Sabiq wa Lahaq.
No.
Zuhri student of
Zuhri. Zuhri was older than
Malik. Yeah. And just a little while ago I talked about Al-Sabiq wa Lahaq, right? I said Al-Zuhri was older than Malik. Okay. Yani he was Malik's teacher, but he still took some hadith from Malik. Nothing wrong with that.
So who is the teacher?
Malik. Zuhri. In general, Zuhri is. But Malik had some hadith that Zuhri did not know, so Zuhri took them from him. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. As some of the hadithin said, you will not be a scholar of hadith until you narrate from people who are older than you and people who are younger than you. So was Malik a student of Zuhri?
Sure.
So the chain is unbroken there. Was Zuhri a student of Muhammad ibn Jubair? Well, if you go to the book on hadith, you'll find that he was.
And the question is, Muhammad ibn Jubair tika, he said tika.
The chain is unbroken, okay? All the way back to the Prophet, or all the way back to... He's missing what?
If Malik is not known, which means that it is there.
If someone who does not commit tadlis uses the word an from someone who he was a student from, that means the hadith is here directly from him. So, anyway.
The only key for the Greek is the word an.
Hey.
The only key.
Well, they also use an, and then you get a hadith, the chain which you call mu'annan. They might also use an. Okay, this is something we'll discuss later. So is the chain unbroken? Is the chain unbroken? Is everyone taqa in the chain? Except for maybe al-Ju'fi. Okay. Now, is there any shudud or illa in this hadith? Is the hadith shad? He said that he heard the Prophet ﷺ recite Surah Tur and Surah Al-Maghrib. How much about this song? Depending on how big your handwriting is.
And the first time that he got email.
But we'll get to that. Okay, is there any hadith that you know of? Is there any hadith that you know of that says the Prophet ﷺ never recited Surah Tur and Surah Al-Maghrib? No, mostly. Is there any hadith that you know of that says the Prophet ﷺ used to only recite short surahs and Salat al-Maghrib?
No.
But, so can you think of anything that this hadith contradicts? Okay, how about illa? Is there any hidden defect in this hadith? But okay, first of all, with respect to illa, obviously illa you cannot judge just by this chain alone, right? You have to look and study from other chains. I'll tell you there's no illa. Is there any problem with the fact that he said this is the first time that iman reached his heart? We said earlier that we do not accept hadith from kufar, right? So when he heard this Surah Thor, this means yani he was not a believer, right?
Yeah,
in other words, yani he was a non-Muslim who heard the Prophet ﷺ tell him recite this in Surah Al-Maghrib. Is there any problem with that?
Why didn't he come to the prayer?
No, he heard. He didn't say he's in the prayer. He's like a dog on a leash, you know. And it is the first time that iman entered his heart. It's okay, what? Okay, we talked about this before. That when you convey the hadith, you must be Muslim. We do not accept hadith from kuffar. But what you were at the time you heard the hadith or saw the incident, it doesn't matter. We gave examples of that earlier.
Oh, so iman enters my heart, it means that he becomes Muslim at that time?
Yeah, the first time iman entered his heart, yes.
No.
First time that he felt. Okay.
He didn't get it.
Hmm?
Slow. But when iman entered my heart, does it mean that he wasn't Muslim before that time?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We just all the conditions are met. We only have to worry about al-jawfi. Okay, al-jawfi. Al-jawfi died in 127. This is Jabir al-Jawfi. Okay, from the book Taqrib al-Tahbib, we see that al-Jawfi died in 127, and some people say 132. This is when he died. 120. I'm sorry. 27 or 100. Oh, the other page is sorry, we're just sticking with Taqrib al-Tahbib. Any time you find something like this, that means the dates in between also will be qil wa qal. Okay, what's the isnad that we have? We had Malik, right? Malik lived from when to when? Yeah, Malik. Malik lived from what, 90? Or 91 or something, to when?
Let me found it.
To about something like 170. Okay? Something like that. Abdullah ibn Yusuf lived from about, I'm approximating here, but it's something like 130 to 200, or 140. Something like 140 to 210.
Oh.
Huh? Okay. What does this mean? This is Abdullah bin Yusuf. And the hadith says, قال الجوفي حدثنا.
I'm sure he was born.
140 to 210 or so. This is when he died. And this is Abdullah bin Yusuf.
Okay.
What's the conclusion from this?
It's
clear. It's clear that you people have the wrong Jawfi. This is Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari al-Jawfi, who is the student of Abdullah bin Yusuf. So you have to make sure you identify the people correctly. If you just jump to the conclusion that it's Jabir al-Jawfi, you're going to have lots of trouble with this isnad. It is Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari al-Jawfi. Well, the reason I did not mention al-Bukhari, if I said qala al-Bukhari and give the isnad, what will you say? Sahih. Well, this is a big mistake. Why? Al-Bukhari had many books. One of his books is Tariq al-Kabir, which I take one page from it here. In Tariq al-Kabir he has many hadith. And when he discusses some narrative, he gives the hadith. Okay? So just because al-Bukhari recorded a hadith doesn't mean that it's sahih. If he recorded it in Tariq al-Kabir, or al-adab al-mufrad, it doesn't mean that the hadith is sahih. So I know that if I just tell you al-Bukhari, you will assume automatically that it's sahih. But that's not the case. But this particular hadith that we studied is from Sahih Bukhari. And it is sahih. I just explained one.
Yeah, this is okay.
Just
to be aware,
because you call his name. But if any the hadith in Sahih doesn't say Bukhari.
When
you
say okay, he might be a Muslim at
other times. He said it's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So like the example we give, I think you weren't here when we gave the example of Abu Sufyan.
He never. The hadith
has for tahammul, actually the way they say it, for tahammul you don't have to be a Muslim, but for ada, or to give it to someone else, you have to be a Muslim. Time what?
Wulida Bukhari.
Wulida 180 or around 180, between 180 and 190, I think. That's close enough, thanks. Close enough for government work, as they say. Yes.
Which one of those
five conditions
that you should start with, so you don't bother to go to the rest of them? I mean, the easiest way.
The easiest way is to start with the second and third condition, because when you gather the second and third condition, when you go to the books, you also will have a chance to see who were their students and who were their teachers. So you can also check to make sure that there was some relation between the different narrators in the chain.
Sure. Is there computer work being done to record the name of Muhaddith?
Well, actually, Sheikh Al-Azmi's computer program will give some, for example, Taqrib al-Tahdhib, he has it on his computer. Taqrib. Which is the short book, this one. And it were just very basic information given about all the narratives. I do not believe he has Tahdhib al-Tahdhib.
No, what I mean is verifying the chain. Checking the chain.
I mean just the computer program, you just type in the chain. And there's a little bit more to it than that. For example, checking illa and shudud.
Not just the chain,
To see if it's unbroken? You could probably do that. I mean, it can give you. His will give you all the information you need in general. Yeah. Any computer, you have to give it data, otherwise. I don't know if there's right now any such. Actually, it's more important for Rajal or for narrators than it is actually for Hadith, because in the case of Rajal, if you put it. If you do your best to get all the books of biographies and put it on a computer, then you'll have the statements of all the different scholars concerning the narrator. While if you just have the hadith and then you have to look for the narrator, there might be some books that you don't find or you forget to look into, which has some more discussion about the narrator that you didn't find. But let me just make a few more points before we stop. Is the tape still 90 minutes tape?
Yeah, we're already asleep.
Oh, we started late then, I guess. No. You didn't even show up. Exactly. Briefly, let me just. Hadith can be divided into two types, mutawatir and ahad. Ahad, and this is long also. Okay, ahad. What we mean by mutawatir? Mutawatir means that the hadith is narrated by so many people in each of the tabaqat that it is virtually impossible for them to have agreed upon to fabricate such a hadith. Okay, it is narrated, sometimes even the number doesn't have to be that much, but for example, if you, I was almost going to draw a map, but I will not.
It's like mutawatir is
Ahad is anything which is not mutawatir. Anything which is not mutawatir, we call it ahad.
It doesn't have to be 21
Sahabi. No. I think, anyway, I think you're all familiar with the definition of mutawatir. There's no specific number. Any of the muhaddithin, they tried to figure out what's the minimum number. Most of them say 4 in each generation makes the hadith mutawatir. But it's more than that. Yani. For example, if you have the hadith in many different parts of the Muslim world, and everyone is narrating the same hadith in the same way, this will make it mutawatir, even if it's, you just have one, for example, in Basra, and one in Kufa, and one in Yemen. Yani. So mutawatir hadith is like the Quran, by the way. Mutawatir, all of the Quran is mutawatir. So mutawatir hadith are automatically sahih.
This is not
the
Quran,
it's meant to be. Yes. Okay, it is automatically sahih. In other words, if a hadith is mutawatir, you don't have to go through, yani, is it muttasil al wababat wa. Okay. And it reaches a level called ilm al-qati' al-yaqeen. Or also ilm al- الوقت العلم اليقيني الضروري علم اليقيني إذا أصول الفقه terms actually الضروري I know there's something there ضروري what this means يعني when the ulama say that things have reached that level it means it's not acceptable for any Muslim to reject these things. This is the type of kufr. To reject these things. Like the Quran. If you reject a verse in the Quran, by the way, these two terms, basically what they're saying is that these are yani, definitive knowledge, unquestionable definitive knowledge. What this term means is that something should be known to everyone. Yani it is definite knowledge even without inspection or investigation. So anyone who denies these things from this category, like the Quran or mutawatir hadith, it is considered a type of kufr. And because these things are unquestionable.
Where do you find those type of hadith?
Well, you'll find them pretty much anywhere. Like for example, some of the hadith, most of the hadith in okay, mutawatir has two types. One is wording, and the other one is meaning. Okay, mutawatir in its wording, mutawatir in its meaning. Mutawatir in its wording means it's been narrated with the exact same wording, and it through so many chains. Well, barakallahu fik. An example of this is من كذب علي متعمدا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقَعْدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ okay. So then this hadith was narrated by something like 82 Sahaba with exactly the same wording. So it is mutawatir in its wording. Some of the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are of this category.
Some?
Yeah.
Not all of them?
No, not all of them. There's a book by someone by the name of Kitani. I ordered the book from Safa, I hope it's in the mail. There's a book by Kitani, a collection of mutawatir hadith, this type.
From all the narrators.
Hmm?
From all the other books he got.
Yeah, from the different books he. When I get the book, I'll tell you.
What's the name of the book?
Yeah, this is a few hundred. A few hundred. And they were talking about the exact same wording. Yeah, okay. Mutawatir meaning it's a different category. Most of the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are mutawatir in meaning. Okay, they have not been narrated in the exact same words by many people in each tabaqat, but their meaning is supported by different hadith in each tabaqat.
What's the name of the Kathini book?
I don't remember. I don't. Might be in here. Suyuti also has a book.
Uzad Ali, you consider this also divided by me?
What's that?
When we say, I mean, some of the hadith, in one narration, they say, okay, Uzad Ali.
If there's an increase in the wording of the hadith,
yeah,
and it's not, everyone doesn't have that increase or addition.
Yeah,
no, if everyone doesn't have that addition, then it will not be mutawatir.
So,
yeah.
They have one part.
Oh, okay. Then that part, if for example the hadith man kadaba alayhi mutaammidan, yani it is narrated in different contexts, but always with the same wording inside that context. I mean, inside. Sometimes someone includes the whole statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Sometimes someone just includes that statement. Yeah.
How do you recognize mutawatir by wording and by meaning?
You have to study the chains to see who narrated the hadith in each generation and so forth. Okay. La, if you read just Qittani, you'll get these. There's another book by Asyuti also. That meaning, there's a lot. And meaning, for example, the hadith that you raise your hand during dua, and it is many, many hadith that state that the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand during dua, but they're completely different hadith. I mean, one is during the Ghazwat Badr, one is after Salat, one is during the Istisqa is different. Istisqa, you go like this.
This way?
Yeah. So, yani, many different incidences, but all of them say that the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand while making dua. So therefore, yani, they are mutawatir in their meaning.
So, didn't
dua? Dua, outside of the salat.
How about if you don't do it?
No, yani, it's not from the shurut dua. It's part kafaya, as we talked about.
You said anybody who rejects.
If anyone says, yani, that the Prophet ﷺ did not do it, this is
people do say that.
At all? Ever? He ever said it? He ever did it?
Yeah, they
supply a place or time. Maybe that's the
case.
Hey, no, هذا معروف في الفقه. لا حول ولا قوة. Hey, that's a different question. But what was the point that I was going to make here? بالمعنى وباللفظ. طيب. أحد or أحد can be divided into different types. We will not discuss them now, but I'll just mention them.
Right.
One is مشهور. Should I take a chance? Huh? أحد. No, we're going from متواتر down. مشهور. مستفيد. What's the letter? Mustafid, Aziz. Is that right? Mustafid? Is that the one in there? Kida? Kida? Taib. Aziz and Gharib. Aziz and Gharib. Okay, these are the different types of Ahad Hadith. Well, Ahad Hadith, we have to discuss whether they are, yani, they meet the conditions. We will discuss, yani, remind me to begin next time about what Ahad Hadith are considered Ilm al-Yaqini, not the Daruri, but Ilm al-Yaqini. We'll discuss that next time, inshallah.
The word from Khalil
Aziz
and Ali do not say anything about
Hadith. Yeah, that's what I said. These are the ones we have to study. The Isnad and Adl.
Hadith.
Subhanallah.